All right. Okay, well, we'll get started this morning, leaving off where we left off last night. Let me say this about our services. If you're not getting the CDs in between these series, you don't know where you are. Just to let you know. If you might think you know, you have no idea. I'm stepping from one step to the next. And they're not giant steps, they're just little steps. So you have to listen to the in-between, because I can't review last night, and I said a lot last night. Right? And so for you to understand what's going to take place this morning, it's tough to not listen. And if you didn't listen to all of them from the beginning, I can only encourage you, all we can do is give it to you for no cost. They're there. You get them, request them, go online, listen to them, because you're not going to be able to keep up with this Galatian series unless you listen to it. Listen, even if you get them all, you got to listen to them probably again. I go back over my stuff over and over and over again. So I'm just catching up. I told Charlotte last night was me just getting to where I built the slides that first week in Miami. I just got there last night. That's how much stuff was done that one week. Now, it's been a lot of weeks from then to now. There's so much material. It just has to, it's being put together because there's so many scripture. And I can't say everything because the series has to continue. But just let me tell you, if you're not listening to the in-between, even if you can't make it, you got to listen, because you'll be out of step, and you're trying to figure out where I'm coming from on these particular verses, and you won't know what verse we read before. Very important. It's like missing a set of instructions trying to put a building block thing together. If you're missing one line, it's going to be difficult. You might figure it out, but here's the thing you always got to remember. You might not. You don't want to do that. It's available to you. Take some time. Give yourself over to some time. If you drive to work, you got enough time to listen to something. If you're driving from work, you have enough time to listen to something. If you're going to town, you have enough time to listen to something. So keep that in mind. That's very, very vital to us. Now, I left off. I apologize. I'm not sure what's going on with my iPad, but I won't be able to use it this morning. So we'll be just having to do it right off the computer here. But I want to just remind you, last night, go to slide 334. It was a new, I sent it all new. So I left off on this 334, but faith which worketh by love. How many remember that? And I'll cover just a little bit review. He mentioned this three times. Now, that verse there, he's dealing with faith working by love. That's verse 7. And then, but you're a new creature. He says three times the same thing in a different way. A new creature. And then, but keeping the commandments of Yahweh. All of those mean the same exact thing. They're said differently. So he's expounding, as it were, to give us a better understanding. So one thing I didn't share last night, I want to go ahead and do that. And the question is, what about Timothy? Because what are we dealing with? We're dealing with circumcision to be saved. Let's not forget that. Not just circumcision. But the Galatians were told, in order to be saved, you had to be circumcised in the flesh. Not in the spirit. That wasn't their statement. Circumcision in the flesh. In other words, there had to be something you did in order for salvation to take its place in you. Paul said it's not the case. Then the question's going to come up when you start having conversation with people. They're going to ask this question. Well, what about Timothy? I'm going to deal with that really quick, and then we'll move on, because I want to get past this portion of it so we can get where we're going today. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. I didn't cover this last night. I could have, but I had to squeeze it in. And I felt the time we did was about right. And so I want to cover this right up front this morning so you'll see this. Now, you notice I'm kind of jumping in this, and I don't want you to be lost. The reason you can be lost if you hadn't heard the rest of it. So I stopped here last night. What about Timothy? Because I said last night, you're going to have some encounters. They're going to ask you, well, why are you doing this? Why are you keeping Torah? Why are you celebrating these feast days? Why are you doing these things? You may have questions that I ask. And so they may say, well, Paul said you didn't need to be circumcised. There's no circumcision necessary. So I don't need I'm not under the old law, the letter of the law. I'm under the grace of God. And so the question will be, then what about Timothy? Because it's an interesting thing happened. Let's look at it. Acts 16, 1 through 3, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. He's the son of a certain woman, notice that, the son of a certain woman which was Jewish, and believed. So she was a believing Jew. Understand that. She's a believing Jew and believed. So she's in the faith. But his father was a Greek. Notice that. His father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So it was reported and they knew it. And so it continues, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Speaking of Timothy, he's going to go forth with me and do what? In ministry. They're going to be traveling together. And he took him, and he took and circumcised him because of what? Because of the Jews. He didn't circumcise him because that's what it was necessary for his salvation. How many see that? See, that's that little point right there. We keep talking about in all of our services. Keep reading. Let's not isolate a verse. Keep reading. He circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. For they knew, who knew? The Jews knew all that his, they knew all that his father was a Greek. They knew that. So, in order for it not to be trouble, Paul said the best thing for us to do, based on that, is to have you circumcised. Not because circumcision made him salvation complete. Does that make sense to everybody? So you're going to read that and you're going to come across that. Acts 21, 21, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. And so this is what he was up against, that he was teaching, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest all Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, that they don't need to be circumcised. That's not what Paul was doing. He was, and you can see him, and that's why you carefully have to read Paul and his writings, especially the one that he wrote to the Galatians. And that's why we're taking our time with this. But he was up against it. He was up against it, no doubt. As way of review, let's look at the third verse again of Galatians. We're looking at this as very important, vital, that we understand this. We're in the third verse of Galatians, the third chapter. So we're moving right along. It might appear to you, well, you might say, wow, we're halfway. Not even close. We're not halfway. We might be halfway in the chapters because there's six of them. But the third chapter is going to take some time. It's going to take us some time to get through it. So we're going to look at this careful. Last night I looked at this and it says, oh, fool, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? So I read these verses here. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? So I want you to just keep that in mind, because I read those verses. I want to keep going and read verse 5 here, because that's where we're actually going to get our pull a text from today. But he says, he said, oh, you're so foolish. And I gave the English version. If you listen to the tape, you get the English version. He basically said to him, have you lost your mind? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Think about that. And so he's about to unfold these truths to them that they can realize that this is a travesty to think that away. But those, they were put under pressure and they were being persecuted. And that's why he said, have you suffered in vain? If it yet be in vain. They were under the pressure. There's no doubt about it. But their salvation came not by a circumcision of the flesh. It came from circumcision of the heart. And that's what he was trying to emphasize. Now, we're going to take these thoughts, and we're really going to dig deep today, and we're going to look at them from how it all began, where it all started from. Verse number 5 of Galatians 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's a great question. How does he do it? By the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Think about that. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now we're going to look at this because the question is, have you received or done these things by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's a quote from Genesis 15, verse number 6. And he, Abraham, believed in Yahweh, and he accounted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. He believed Yahweh. He trusted in his plan and his purpose for his life. I can tell you, salvation comes to the unbeliever when you trust and believe in his purpose and plan for your life. What's his purpose and plan? Though you and I were in sin and have committed sin and transgressed the law, his purpose for you is to take you and I out of that. Take us out of the miry clay and say you don't have to be that away. It's called the grace of God. And when grace that's in action is the mercy of God. It's his merciful hand on us because he could have left us there. He could have left us there where we'd be without hope and nothing going in our direction. But he gave us a way out, gave us hope. So think about that. That's what's been established for us in this. So he quotes this Genesis 15, verse 6, and it was going to take this thing a little bit further in verse number 7. Verse number 7 is an important verse of this Galatians 3. It says this, Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, they're of what? Of faith. The same are the children of Abraham. So what's the qualifier here? In verse 7 of the third chapter. Of faith. He said, the same are what? The children of Abraham. Look at verse 26 of the third chapter. We're just going to jump ahead. We're going to cover them again. But we're jumping ahead for sake of bringing this understanding. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of Yahweh. How? By faith in Messiah Yeshua. How are we children of Yahweh? By faith in Messiah Yeshua. How many see that? The next verse, 29. It says, if ye be Messiahs, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I'm going to tell you, you got to keep this in mind as we get into this, because you're going to see something today that maybe we haven't seen before. Maybe we didn't even realize that. That it wouldn't help narrow down how important it is in order for us to accept the plan of salvation that Yahweh has established for us. I don't think the world has seen it yet. But we're going to look at this because these verses right here are critical to our understanding this. So, verse number 7, Abraham, with the same are the children of Abraham. How that happens? By faith. Now he's going to expound on what by faith means. Because if we just leave it by faith in what? By faith. People can have faith in a lot of things. You can put faith in other people. But he didn't leave us there. He said, by faith. What faith? Faith in what? He goes on and explains that. Verse 26, for you are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Messiah Yeshua. How many see that? Same by faith, but he tells us a little bit more. He expounds on it. He says, by faith in Messiah Yeshua. Verse 29, if ye be Messiahs, in other words, if you identify with who Messiah is and claim him as your elder brother, he's your elder brother. Before he becomes that elder brother, he first, because we Yahweh's sons and daughters, remember that, children of Yahweh. If he's the only begotten of the Father, first to be raised, and we're heir, joint heirs through him, then we got to understand where our position lies and what we say about ourselves. So if we're going to become the children of Yahweh and understand this, we first have to understand that the qualifier for that is we got to be Messiahs. Messiahs meaning he's our rabbi. We adhere to the principles in his doctrine and his belief system. What's the creed of Yeshua? What's Yeshua's creed? We can quote creeds. They got the apostolic creed. They got the Nicene creeds. They got all the creeds. But what is Yeshua's creed? Well, he was asked by the scribe. The scribe asked him. He said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, I'll tell you what the greatest commandment is. This is his creed. And it's very important. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yahweh. Very important. That's his creed. That's what he lived by. How many Yahwehs did Yeshua believe in? He believed in one Yahweh. Very important. Now, if there's other creeds that come along after Yeshua, I want to emphasize that. After Yeshua, they come along, and they mention more than that, then what are you going to believe? If they talk about two Yahwehs, or maybe three Yahwehs, or four or five, whatever you said, we got to start with Yeshua's creed because we're Messiahs. Remember that we identify with Messiah. Then, if we're Messiahs, then are you Abraham's seed. Not until. Keep this in mind because this is going to help you as we get there now. And he says, Abraham's seed, and what? Heir. We're heir according to the promise. Now, in 2002, Time Magazine came out and published this magazine in 2002. It made the Times Magazine, and let me tell you, this is important to look at and reflect on. Obviously, this is not a photograph of Abraham, right? It's just some kind of depiction to kind of get our mind wrapped around it. But it's not a photograph, but they're talking about Abraham here. Now, I'll blow it up in the next slide so we can see it better, what I want the caption is. Abraham, Muslims, Christians, and Jews all claim him as their father. I mean, see that. Now, I want to emphasize that. This is Time Magazine. If you think stuff ain't going on, the devil is not trying to play his hand, we better wake up. If you're not interested in the kingdom, if you're not interested in Yahweh, if you're not trying to stand against it, what's the point in printing anything in Time Magazine? You go do your Time Magazine stuff and leave the Christians alone. Leave the church alone. But they know something's there, and they can't figure it out. Let me tell you why. They have not given their hearts over to understand it. You cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually understood. The natural mind can't understand it. So, yes, you're going to print this kind of stuff. Listen, I'm not making this up. You go on your computer and look in 2002, and you're going to find that this made the cover and was on newsstands all over. If you make Time Magazine, they're interested in this. Well, here's the caption again. Muslims, Christians, and Jews all claim him as their father. Well, we got some issues here, right? If the Muslims say Abraham's their father, and the Jews say Abraham's their father, and the Christians say Abraham's their father, who's right? Not to mention, we haven't asked the all-important question yet. What does God say? What does he say? What does he mention about this? Well, that's what we're going to take a look at today. Because you can claim whatever you want. Everybody here, we can claim it. So say we represent, and really, for the most part, being untaught and unlearned in this area, for the most part, we would identify with the Christian side. And we would say, because remember the pendulum effect? So the Jews are over here, and the Christians are over here. And the Muslims, they're off somewhere. Don't count them out. They're over a billion strong. So you got to keep that in mind. Over a billion. And they claim in Abraham as their father here. We claim him as our father here just because we want to claim the fame. We don't know why we claim him as father, but we want him because he's the one that was blessed. He's the one that was given the covenant promise. He was the one that God put the stamp of approval on in the Muslims' design because the Muslims teach in the Quran that Isaac was not sacrificed, but Ishmael was. If you want to know the difference, when Abraham sacrificed, and it says, take thy only son Isaac and sacrifice him, they claim the firstborn, which was Ishmael, was the one he actually sacrificed. And so they're from Ishmael. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. What's the truth? So we have to understand that. So we're going to take some time today, and we're going to look at this, because without this understanding, you can't understand verse 7 of Galatians 3, verse 7, and the rest of the verses, 26, 20, you won't understand those. And we want to look at that together. We want to see this thing unfold because it's going to help us. Now, let's go on to the next verse, and we're going to ask this next slide. Who are the children of Abraham? Who are the children of Abraham? Remember that. Chapter 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Keep that in mind. Because we got to understand Galatians, because he's talking to the Galatians, and they're struggling with this whole circumcision, under the law, not under the law. What the law can do, what the law can't do. Shouldn't we do it? Should we not do it? And they claim their claim to fame is we're Abraham's children. Therefore, that says something about us. But he says, here in this verse, those who are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. Well, we're going to see this and see how this thing plays out. I want you to go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, and let's look at what he says in Romans about this. We'll look at 10 verses here. In Romans chapter number 4, verse number 1 says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? Great question. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He had whereof to glory, but not before Elohim. For what saith the Scripture? Remember last night we talked about what Yeshua done? It is written, it is written, it is written. What saith the Scripture? I love that portion there. What says the Scripture? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now I showed you the places that is found. We looked at it in Genesis. We see in these things unfold. It was counted to him for righteousness. That's what the Scripture says. Verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. Understand it. But of death. But to him that worketh not, but believed on him that justified the wicked, his faith is counted for righteousness. Because if it's works-based, you're not getting anywhere. Because there's a debt that has to be paid. But if it's of grace, it's not something. Remember, understand this. You're not paying something for something that you've done. You're not paying that. Something was done for you that you could not pay. That's so important. You're not paying for something you've done. Something was paid for you that you could not pay. The reason that is because no matter what you do, can't pay for what you've done. Cannot do it. But it's paid for me. There's a song we used to sing. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. See, we needed somebody. We couldn't pay that debt. But if it's works, then it's unto death. It's a debt. But it's not that. He says in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the wicked, his faith is counted for righteousness. What? Where did we see that just now? Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did he believe? He believed what God said. He believed what God said, the way that God would fix the issue he was having. He believed that and trusted it. Verse number 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom Elohim imputed righteousness without works. He just tells us, he said, if you really want to know, can you see Paul's style here? He had his style. When he teaches, when he preaches, you look at his style. He says, if you want to, even as David also described the blessedness of the man. How did he know that? Because he went back into Torah, he went back into the writings, went back into the Psalms, and he was studying that out. And he said, he said that unto whom Elohim imputed righteousness without works. So he's saying this to it. Verse number 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And here's verse number 10. How was it then reckoned? See, this, he's just telling us this beautiful story. He's laying out these beautiful passages of Scripture. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision. He answers it. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. It was reckoned to him. Understand that. Uncircumcision. This is vital for where we're going to be going here next. So, I want to make this statement. Think about it. Salvation only comes by spiritual means. Salvation only comes by spiritual means, not in the flesh. Ain't a thing you can do in the flesh. Now, the flesh is something that comes under the subjection of Torah once you come into salvation. That comes underneath that principle. It's called being obedient. So we start obeying the things of God. We start living as we're kingdom-minded. I said last night in the service, you don't wait until the kingdom comes and start thinking about being a king's kid. If you're told that you're a king's kid, you're waiting for the king to come, and the king's going to come at a certain time. The arrival, the coronation of the king is coming. It's what we celebrate when we talk about the Feast of Trumpets. And then Yom Kippur is taking us to that spot where we humble in our souls and we recognize in our life. And then the celebration in Sukkot. That's what that entails. That's what that's all about. How many thankful that, you know, finally here we are, we're looking at these things and they have meaning to my life as a believer. They have great meaning. Well, today I'm going to touch, if I can get to that part, I'm going to touch on what's coming. What we're about to have, Shavuot, it's coming. And I'm going to incorporate that, hopefully, in this Galatian series, because while I was going over, I said, this is powerful stuff. When the Word comes forth, we have to be ready. And that's what happens when Shavuot happens, when Pentecost happened, the Spirit came forth, it was released. And I'm going to tell you, their salvation only comes by spiritual means. No other way. It don't come from the flesh. The flesh is subject after the event happens, and so we start doing different things. We act different. We talk different. And so keep that in mind. Let's look at this. Ishmael, the son of Hagar. Now let's look at it together. Number one, he is Abraham's firstborn son. Think about that. I want you to really get this in your mind. Ishmael is Abraham's firstborn son. Number two, Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised on the same day. Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised on the same day. Think about that. Because he was not circumcised. His firstborn son was born. He was not circumcised, nor was Ishmael circumcised. This is a big deal, and you got to understand this, or you won't get Galatians 3. It's going to be difficult to get it. Let's look at Genesis 17. I think I put it in here. Genesis 17, 23. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as Elohim had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Verse 26, in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. That's clear enough for me to make that statement I made earlier. They were circumcised on the same day. Now, that's after the Lord comes and says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to bless you, all of these things. Now, watch. Why is he doing this? Let me tell you something. When I started going over this and I seen the skill and the masterful hand of Yahweh as all this was put together, it makes you quit asking why. You just say, why am I asking why? Let me step back and let Yahweh do what Yahweh does. Amen? So how many see that the statement I made is a fact that Abraham, 99, Ishmael, 13, both were circumcised on the same day? Not to mention other guys, but it would be something that a father and son, that's his firstborn son, by the way. Let's not forget that. Ishmael is his firstborn. Is it from Sarah? No, it's the son of Hagar. But it was a surrogate situation. And she was going to bear the child and then give it to Sarah. And then Sarah saw it and said, you know, that don't work. There's a problem there. Because he's always going to say, that's not mine. And the mom was going to want, that's her baby. Right? And so that problem started. But that was something of the flesh. Trying to help God fix what only God can fix. Maybe I need to touch on that a little bit. Sometimes we're trying to help God get something going in our life, and the only way it can get going is if God does it. And we don't need assistance. He just needs obedience. We just need to obey Him. So Ishmael, son of Hagar, was the covenant. The covenant was not established with him. The covenant was not established with Ishmael. He was a product of the flesh. He was a product of the flesh. This is important. You know, you got a firstborn mentality. You got a firstborn mentality. Let me just throw this out to you so you grab this. When Hyrum was born in this world, he grows up and he gets to be able to tend to himself. He's making his own decisions and all that, whatever that age was. Sometimes it's around 13 years old because we got it. 13. You remember that church service when I kind of scooted right here? We don't have it, but we think we do. And you start making your own decisions, right or wrong, you're responsible for that. That's your firstborn priority. You're the firstborn of yourself. But God rejects that. And He chooses another one born. That's why you must be born again. Well, how in the world did you figure that out? Well, I'm going to show you. It tells us, we just got to read it slow. It tells us. He was a product of the flesh. What you did from the time you were 13, and I'm just using that number. You were a product of the flesh. That was your flesh wanted those things. You did that. And then all of a sudden, you stepped out of that, and you walked in, left the firstborn behind, and now you're a product of the Spirit. How many think? So it's all over. It's the masterful hand of Yahweh. He's putting it all together. And we're trying to, sometimes we don't immerse ourselves in the Scripture and let the whole picture just speak volumes to us. A product of the flesh. Isaac, the son of Sarah, the covenant was established. He was a product of the Spirit. Remember that. He's a product of the Spirit. Well, we're going to look at this story because I want you to see it as we're relating to this. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. We're going to go fairly quick on this because I want to get this in today. Genesis 17, verse number 1. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, Yahweh appeared to him. Now, remember, I read 17 already, but further down. I read about the circumcision of him and Ishmael at the same day. They were circumcised. It was something they had together. He could identify with him. Me and my boy. Me and my boy, we were circumcised on the same day. They got this connection. And I'm going to show you how deep that connection is. It's a deep connection. We got to understand it. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty El. Notice how he identifies himself with Abram. I am the Almighty El. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What? How you pop out in the first statement and tell the man who you are and walk before me perfect when that man knows if it's all his imperfections? First thing he's going to think is what? You're asking me to do the impossible. But he's speaking from a spiritual standpoint. Yahweh speaking from a spiritual standpoint, not a flesh standpoint. Let's see it as it unfolds. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, a sign of humility, of acceptance. I want to do what you asked. Paul had that experience when Yeshua presented himself. And Elohim talked with him, saying, this is the words of Elohim, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Remember how I said last night, when you get a word from the Lord, you ought to pay attention to it. If you got it from the Lord, you ought to pay attention to it. That may have come by somebody else. But you check it with Scripture. That's how you check it. If it doesn't line up with the Scripture, then just eliminate that portion of it. It don't mean the person's trying to undermine you. So what you have to understand, it's coming from a fleshly vessel, and you just hoping that they stay in the Spirit. You don't know that. But what's good, keep. What's not, there ain't nothing you can do with it. It's going to line up with the Scripture. If it does, you better hold on to it with everything you got. The saddest thing is that God has said things to us, and I mentioned this last night, and we haven't revisited that in so long, we don't know what He said anymore. So He's telling us the directions to go somewhere. We got to make that left and then go down, see that little house, and then go 4 miles. We ain't made none of those turns. And we're still praying, Lord, if you'll just tell me what to do. He has. We have to respond. Well, He's telling Abraham what to do. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. What was he known after this statement? Abraham. He didn't go around identifying with Abram. He was Abraham. Verse number 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be an Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Let me see that. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land there wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenants, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. What? It's his covenant. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. What is it for? It's a token. It's a seal. It's a sign of the covenant that we have. In verse number 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money, with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. I mean, see these things. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of the people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Serious? Think about this. You know why he was in that state of mind after hearing what Yahweh said? Because he knew the situation. And according to his eyes, he knew the situation was impossible. The way he saw it. You ever wondered about the situation that you see? And how you see it? Does that change what the plan of Yahweh is? Because you see the situation difficult? Do we get on our face sometime and laugh? The laughter here was not because he was He did it in like that kind of way. I didn't laugh because something was said that was funny. I did that because what you said was so beyond reality, I might as well just chuckle a little bit because, are you kidding me? That's where he saw his situation. That's how he knew his situation. There's no way this is possible. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. So what does he say next? Verse 18. And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Because that's something I can get my head wrapped around. That's something that's right there in front of me. It's real. It's tangible. I can figure this out. God, I'm telling you, I need your blessings on this. I got it figured out. I'd watch when I go before God and petition him about what you got figured out. Be careful what you got figured out, because this is what Abraham's doing. He said, Lord, I hear you. Are you serious? Look at me. 100 years old, my wife's 90. It ain't going to happen. So I'm asking, just do it through Ishmael. He's right there. He's my firstborn. Well, I'm going to tell you, he might be your firstborn, but he's a product of the flesh. And I'm not going to do anything through that way. Just like when you grew up and you had your first shot. What happened with all of us? For we all have sinned and come short of the glory on our first go around. But now he says, I reject that because I'm going to do something in you. You may not see it now. And that's what happens in our life. We don't see ourselves born again. We don't see ourselves that we're the redeemed of the Lord. And until you start seeing it, you're always going to have a tendency to lean to the product of the flesh and think God can take the Ishmael that's in us and use it still to do the good work. I'm not so bad. You don't understand. It's not about being so bad or so right. God rejects that way. He's got a better plan for you. He wants the new you to come forward and be all you can be in Elohim. He wants that brightness and that brilliance of the glory to be on your life. Doesn't mean he don't love us. Because while we were still in that state is when Christ died for the ungodly. But if he lays out a plan and says, if you follow this plan, I'm going to take you from that Ishmael mentality and I'll bring you into the Isaac nature. This is so important. But listen to what he says. Abraham says unto Elohim. They're in conversation here. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, it won't happen. And Elohim replies. He says, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. You better know it. Mark my word, it's going to happen indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And listen to this, I will establish my covenant with him, Isaac, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. I mean, see this, now these connections are happening. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And God was not kidding. The Muslim nation has risen. It's all here. Verse 21. But we just got finished talking about Ishmael and how big Ishmael would be. But he says, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac. How many see this? But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Remember Time Magazine? Everybody wants to claim him as father. But the question that we got to answer today, who's the children of Abraham? I'm giving you some good indicators in the scripture. You need to take this information and go look at it and figure it out. I can tell you, If we're not of the faith, if we don't follow the perfect plan of Yahweh, we can't claim anything. But we have to be of the faith. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and Elohim went up from Abraham. Abraham had two sons by two women, Ishmael and Isaac. He had two sons by two women. The first woman was Hagar. The second woman was Sarah. God rejected his firstborn because it was a product of the flesh, and it wouldn't match the salvation plan that God put in motion when he stepped out of eternity into time. Before he said, let there be light and all that stuff. And God created the heavens. Before that, he had a plan to save man. Very important. Isaac, go a little bit further in this. Isaac had two sons. By the same woman, Esau and Jacob. Had the same. Now, think about that. Same woman. Look at Genesis 25. I know I'm going fast because I want to get to just show you this pattern, how it works. Let's look at it together. Genesis 25, verse 19. So this continues on. Abraham, two sons, firstborn rejected. Isaac is claimed. He gets married. He has two sons, same woman. They're twins, the firstborn. You'll see it as this thing unfolds, what God is showing us. It's a pattern of what happens in our life. Genesis 25, verse 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, and the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated Yahweh. This is Isaac now. We have Abraham's encounter. This is Isaac. He entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him. I mean, he responded. And this is what he said. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Let me see that. I mean, he entreated, and Yahweh responded. And what happened? She conceived. And the children struggled together within her. She was having a tough time. This pregnancy was not easy. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? What's going on here? This is like a war going on in my womb. I'm going to tell you, the struggle, it's real. The battle, it's real. And it's raging. You can say, well, I've been in church. Listen, I've been doing this for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, the struggle is real. If I don't keep myself and put myself toward the Word of God, it's a real fight. That's a battle. But I can tell you that always the firstborn wants to be the one that leads everything. And you let firstborn lead the day, your day, at the end of the day, and you're going to be further away from Yahweh than you thought. You understand? Because it won't lead you in the direction of Yahweh. That's why he rejects that mentality. You got to have that born-again experience, and you have to follow that. That product of the flesh will never please Yahweh. He rejected that. That's why he says, I'm in the Spirit. The Spirit comes. That's that Shavuot experience. That's the Word of God being given at Mount Sinai. That's the upper room when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That's what we have to be the product of. It's the Spirit. Let me tell you what happened in Sarah's womb. When she had eyes, it was a miracle. That's what happened. It was a miracle. There was no flesh involved. God had to touch him and had to touch her. And if he wouldn't have done it, they wouldn't have had Isaac. It was a miracle that happened. We have to see that. And we got another miracle. Isaac goes before Yahweh and says, hey, my wife, we have a little problem here. And what does he do? He responds, gives them another miracle. Remember that. Products of the flesh, you do it on your own. How did Isaac come along? product of the Spirit. It was a spiritual, miraculous, God showed up and made it happen for him. Ishmael, pure product of the flesh. He takes the Sarah's concubine, her slave, goes into the tent and has him a good old time. Purely flesh. What nothing spiritual about that? Abraham come out the tent smiling. Ain't nothing spiritual about that. But he needed a miracle for Isaac to be born. And here's Isaac saying, God, if this thing's going to go on like you promised my father, we need some help here. I can't do it. Rebecca can't do it. But we put our faith and trust in you. And what does Yahweh do? He steps in and performs a miracle. And she has something going on the inside. It's a struggle. He's telling us about it. And the children struggled. And this is what he said. And Yahweh said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Notice that. That's a powerful prophecy over a woman pregnant, and she's having a hard time in her pregnancy. It's going on. It's a war. She feels the war going on. Something's not right. And listen, she's barren. She's barren. She had never had children before. So it's a real thing, and she's no doubt nervous about this. What's happening? She requests the Lord. He tells her. He says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Two manner of people? Are y'all getting this? Two manner of people? How's that possible? How's it possible? Two manner of people from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. Let me see that. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. There's the rejection of the firstborn right there. The elder shall serve the younger. You got to see this. I'm telling you. It changed everything you ever thought about this when you're talking about salvation and how hard and difficult it is sometimes for us to decide. And when her days would be to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Twins. The first came out red and all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. He was the what? The first. He says, just read it to you. And the first came out. If you the first came out, you the firstborn. Sometimes I got to control my thoughts, you know. I'm about to jump on the twins here, but I'm going to keep going. I done it because Scott was thinking it. And I'm reading, you know, I'm reading this channeling like happening, you know. So the firstborn came out red and all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. It's automatically showing that control is coming. And his name was called Jacob. And Esau was 80 years old when she bare them. So keep that in mind. Did anybody pick that up? I mean, Isaac was 80. I'm sorry about that. Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. 80 years. Who give me a guess on that? 80. 60. He requested when he was. I'm going to have to go back and start over. That's what happens when you're not paying attention. You know it, Isaac? Now you're missing lunch. Good thing I got a back button. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife, and daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian. And he goes on, and Isaac entreated. And said, my wife's barren. Sometimes it comes a little later, but if you hang in there, it always comes. Always. You know, when God first promised Abraham, he was only 75. 25 years later, he had that little visitation, and he said, this time next year she'll have him. But for 24 years, he only had a promise. Sometimes it comes a little later, but but you got to hang in there. He'll do it. So, how many see that? Now, let me just share this with you, because we're dealing with Isaac and now Jacob. Malachi 1, verse 1 through 3. Malachi. I'm going to stop here in just a minute. Malachi 1, verse 1 through 3. Listen what it says, the prophet Malachi. The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith Yahweh. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? You ready for this? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith Yahweh. Yet I love Jacob. He's answering that question if you don't know it. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. I wish I had time just to stay on that, but I'm pointing it out so you can write it down in your notes, go back and look at that. But notice the term here, because this is where it's said by the prophet. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Messiah, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Messiah for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Notice that. Who are Israelites? He's telling us who they are. He's talking about his kinsmen, his brethren. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of Elohim and the promise? How much stuff you need to feel like you belong? Who are Israelites? Listen, I'm going to read it again. To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of Elohim, and the promises? This is shouting material. Whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah came? Who is over all, Elohim, blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of Elohim had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Oh boy. He says, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Are y'all getting this? Esau I hated, but Jacob I loved. They are not all Israel who are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. It's a continuation, right? There's no break in context here. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Oh, man. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim. That's why Ishmael couldn't be used. I'm going to say it again. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim. That's why in your first shot, you can't come before Elohim and he's just going to take you like it's going to be okay. And you could continue living, leading your life, directing your life. That person is rejected. It dies. The new you comes forth and you live for God under that new banner of being the firstborn's rejected. The newborn comes into place. Very important. Valuable to understand. These are not the children of Elohim, but the children of that is, verse 8, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Children of the promise. Do you know that you and I are counted the children of the promise? But that has to come out. That has to start taking its position, its reign, and live for the law. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Is everybody seeing this? These are all connected verses. We're not trying to scatter it around. This is all connected throughout the scripture. Verse number 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her. So the reason this happened is for him to show us his perfect plan. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. You see that? Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Where's that quoted from? Where's it quoted from? Malachi. Remember that? Malachi. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Certainly not. Because you can take this right here and you'll start questioning the unrighteousness, the unfairness of Elohim. Because you won't understand it. If you don't understand it from a spiritual standpoint, you don't want to understand it. Hence the question that comes up if you continue reading. I don't have time to get into that, but if you continue reading, it talks about Pharaoh and all of that stuff and the hardening of his heart and so forth. But let me go into a little bit. I'll go into a little bit. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So let's not get to where we think in Elohim made a decision, because it says that Esau didn't do any wrong. Why was he rejected already? He didn't do any wrong. Let me just tell you. You can't pull it over on God. You can't pull it over on God. His tendency was in his DNA. And if you don't believe that, when you were born, you didn't do no wrong. But it didn't take you long. Right? We gravitate to that. It was no different than Jacob then. He did the same thing. But it's not that. It's the acceptance of recognizing you have to humble yourself. And it took a while, but I can tell you, Jacob humbled himself. Jacob got it together, and God brought out of him those nations and changed his name to what? Israel. Think about that. So this is again, now, being an Israelite is not just by natural means, but must be spiritual means. Esau was not known as a Hebrew, even though he was born a Hebrew. In Deuteronomy 34:33, I'm going to see if I can stop. That might be a good stop point, but I won't read it yet. So I want to understand, who here, after reading the Bible, being in and around church for a while, ever known Esau as being a Hebrew? Exactly. But his mom and dad was the same as Jacob. He was known as an Edomite, and he became the leader of the Edomite nation and the Edomite people. Never was known as Jewish, but his parents were the same. Do you understand? You and I have to grab hold to this. It's so critical. It's so critical to our understanding the rest of Scripture. He never identified with it. He never came to that position to identify. Matter of fact, he rejected his birthright. He rejected his own birthright. But he had the same parents. Now, in Abraham's situation, they had two different women. And God says, so we see the heart of God. After all, what are we here to do? We want to flow with the heart of God. God, what he likes and what he don't like. We submit in the Torah, so we want to do what he wants. So what does he say? He said, I reject Ishmael. I'm going to do it through Isaac. Isaac has two sons born. They're the same parents. Yet Esau is never known as a Hebrew. Never known as an Israelite. Because he continued down the product of the flesh. Continued down that. And Jacob came in to understand the spiritual aspect of it. Do you understand that? So, in order to be saved, just because you're born Jewish, don't qualify you. That's the whole point of this whole story. Everything I said this morning. Just because your father is Abraham, don't qualify you. The Muslims say he's our father. The Jews say he's our father. The Christians say he's our father. That don't qualify you. That's a product of the flesh. That's a self-identification. You identify with it, and it can be truth to it. It don't qualify you. Ishmael, his father was Abraham. Bottom line, you ain't undoing that. His father was Abraham, but God said he can't do it. And did he want it? Abraham wanted it. He said, oh God, I would just do it through Ishmael. I don't want to hear it. My head's hurting. I'm an old man. My wife's old. Are you serious? Just Ishmael, listen, there he is. He's a young man, 13 years old. He's good at, he's from me. God said, not going to happen. Did you see that? So it doesn't matter what clan you're born into, what's your background. You check your DNA and you get your little circle in and all that. None of that matters. You can only be saved through following Messiah Yeshua. He's the only way that we can have salvation. This whole story is based upon telling us that you see the masterful hand work of God. So the answer is, why did God do that? Why did God do that? He's trying to get us to understand the importance of it. Deuteronomy 4:33 says, did ever a people hear the voice of Elohim speak out of the midst of a fire, as thou hast heard, and live? This is getting us to Shavuot. Let me ask that question again. Did ever a people hear the voice of Elohim speak out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and lived? Or hath Elohim essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another? What does that mean? He took a nation from the midst of another. They were twins. He took a nation from the midst of another. By temptation, by signs, by wonders, and by wars, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by a great terror, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So many miracles, so many wonderful things did he do. He's asking these questions because he's trying to get them to understand how wonderful and how mighty and how we should praise him and exalt him with everything that's in us. And hopefully we can continue to do that. But we're going to stop right here today. And we'll continue building this. We're going to continue in reading the text in Galatians. So remember, we're in the third chapter of Galatians, and we'll continue in that. My prayer is today that you understand a little bit more about this whole, how God set this thing up for us. Ishmael was not going to be it. God said, I'm a promise, and I'm going to give that promise, and here comes Isaac. It was a miraculous miracle. Rebecca has twins in her womb, miraculous miracle. But he takes a nation out of the midst of a nation, right there, and separates. The firstborn again is rejected, and there's a reason for it. Even though he didn't know iniquity was committed as yet from the person, but later on, we've seen it all came to be committed later on and was never in a position where God could use him. And so God raised up Jacob. His hard attitude was when he lifted up his eyes, he saw the place. He knew he was there. He made that connection. That relationship connection was made. And he sat, laid down, and he had the dream. And then he wrestled with the angel. He wouldn't let go until God changed his name to Israel. A miraculous story flows. So listen, when we were born innocent, we hold babies today, they're innocent. They're not doing any wrong. They're innocent. Then they get older, their innocence starts to kind of diminish. Slowly and slowly it diminishes. No matter what you do, you say, I'm going to try to teach my children right. I don't want their innocence to diminish. But right before your eyes, it happens. And you ask yourself this question, where did I do wrong? How did this go wrong? Right before your eyes. The Lord reminded me of this yesterday. He reminded me of this. I was just sitting there, just thinking and contemplating and thinking about these things. And he showed it to me just like that. There's the baby. At one time, your babies, you held them on your lap. You looked in their eyes and you went, wow, this is mine. And there was no wrong could be done. But time went on. Time went on. And little by little, slowly by slowly, what happened was the enemy started tearing them literally out of your hands. No matter how much time you prayed, no matter what you did, he was ripping them and tearing them out your hands. And what you seemed to be so precious and so innocent, all of a sudden started making their own decisions and doing things that you would thought, no way that would ever happen. God rejects that one. But the new one's there. And we have to pray for that to come to fruition. We have to believe God that that comes. And thanks be to God, it come for many people already. And if he started for many, he's not going to quit until he returns. He's still calling people. He's calling us out of all of that nonsense and darkness. He's calling us forth from it. And so that's the plan of God. He can't change that plan for nobody. So he's calling your children. Your children that you held, there was nothing wrong with them. They were good. Maybe now they're mixed up in all sorts of things. Don't give up, because that's the firstborn that God's going to reject. That's their first go. He rejects that. They have to walk in that newness of life. Now listen to me. Keep this in mind. There's no way around it. There's no side door entry. There's no way around it. They have to come and humble themselves before God and repent. When you do that, what happens is you gain the status that Jacob gained. So now, therefore, we have what's saying the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And some may think it's the God of Ishmael. Think about that. The God of Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. That's in the world today. But the scripture just plainly tells us what God said. And so if we're believing that and studying that and going through that, then we have to trust it with all our heart. Amen? All right. Well, does anybody here need prayer?